Season 8, Episode 7, Danger, Design, and Digital Realities. And a warning, this episode discusses injuries caused by recreational fixed plan. We advise listener discretion. In this episode, the crew explains how shared virtual presence is reshaping how we assess, design, and lead safer work through a shared digital visual design playground that models a workplace. Sarah advocates for these methods to aid sense-making while promoting her team's development of psychosocial risk management tools and training materials. Enjoy this episode.
Track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways.
Hello and welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trage Svetkovsky and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to
talk to me about possibility. Okay. And that's the type of due diligence I'd be looking for.
I'm going to go through quickly. So you just have the top nine. I'm about to work on this more in mining, right? So site requirements, this is, again, vehicle interactions, but you could apply this many places, right? So the environment.
Yeah. Vehicle interaction is a big deal on mines.
Big deal. Yeah. Construction sites, manufacturing, right? You can think of even forklifts and people and pedestrians. Schools, interactions, people.
About auto recyclers, that was the industrial manslaughter
decision.
So
this is publicly available.
Vehicles. Yes.
This is publicly available, this little guideline, this handbook on the Earth Moving Equipment Safety Roundtable, Immersed, I've mentioned several times, and some of their work on operational effectiveness, okay? So, number one, site requirements, then segregation controls, traffic segregations, the operating procedures and governance. And then that's all the design. And then you look at operation, authority to operate, fitness to operate, operating compliance. Then you look at the reaction. So things like advisory controls, the alerts, proximity, speeding, vehicle stability, and intervention controls, interlocking, preventing starts, slow stops, rollbacks, and retarders. But a lot of people focus their design on all of those almost, you know, the aspects that take seconds or milliseconds to have an impact, whereas ideally you go back to the things that could have years of impact, enduring impact.
But you're asking what is possible.
What's possible? Mm. And that's back in site requirements layer one. So I'll send you guys this too. Yeah.
I like that.
This is excellent. And it
could
be
two things today.
Mission impossible.
Go, Sarah.
Or mission impossible.
Right. Teaching the boys a thing or two. I love it.
I've seen Mission Impossible.
Have
you seen it? Mission Impossible?
I've seen one. I haven't seen the second one, the final one on this.
Yeah,
I've got to see this.
It's 3 hours, so be prepared.
And then, okay, let me go back to foreseeability, right? Mm. Because I've been working with XR companies and working a proposal right now for a client on shared virtual presence. Now, you've heard me talk about extended reality.
Yeah.
What you do with the extended reality makes the artifact something, right? So whether you use it for training or incident investigations, a shared virtual presence means you use this replica, this model of an environment that's now created into an animated space. You guys, we can all hop in. Like we could hop into this view of this recording studio from wherever we are, right?
Right.
And we could start working out the design of it.
Oh, yeah.
So that adds foreseeability when you have a multidisciplinary team. Whether you have XR goggles, extended reality goggles on, or you just have a laptop, right? Mm-hmm. And then you get it to do stuff. So you can interact with the artifacts, which means I could move this microphone. You could move this chair and this keyboard. You could move the monitor. And we say, what if I do this task? As you might say, oh, well, hang on, the cleaner needs to access this hallway, this room.
That's right.
So, we better keep this open. So all together, combined, when we have a shared visual space, we think better together.
Oh, sensational.
And that becomes foreseeability. So if someone saw this hole, correct. And I, as a parent, I might go, my child's a bit rowdy. He might stand on Wildy a Coyote. Hey, what words. Could happen here? And then it's more
no, you took the words out of my mouth.
Possible. So the possibilities right. are limitless when you get people thinking in a shared visual space,
like
right?
Like a 3D scenario. And you would put the character.
And you move it all around. On top. You do
kid,
stuff.
Or even an example of a younger kid who then maybe gets a little bit faint, had too much sugar, and then falls, and you would see whether, because that's a horrific situation where the foreseeability of a child then falling off the unicorn.
Right.
And then, you know, or the little horsey, or because these are aperture, falling off the little unicorn and then being dragged. So these are the types of things.
Someone that, dropping their mobile phone and reaching down to pick it up instinctively, hitting their head on something, right?
Animated, look at that. There's on the board, it's something about animated graphic. Look at that.
There you go. It's
so,
right there.
So the thing is, there are possibilities. But getting back to that, isn't that interesting? Depends on how creative or uncreative or how catastrophic one's mind is.
I think you'd be good at it. Trey, you'd be good.
Well, it's that funny. Let's get back to the carousel. I do intend, and I guess it's the product of having attended so many victim impact statements.
Prosecutions and impact statements.
Yeah, and so for me, that sense of catastrophe, now someone might say that's purely unreasonable, Trage. We don't think like you. But hand on heart, if you ask me what is the likelihood, this is me, again, I'm drawing my own inference here, the probability or the foreseeability of, for example, a rowdy, sugar-pumped child. Yes.
Jumping on top of equipment.
You're going on a bit of a frolic, doing something. For
frolicking.
I'd say it's possible.
Well, I can see Trash.
I could be that child.
He could have been that child.
So here's the thing.
He's a frolicker.
So you know, it is what it is. The facts are there. The case has been withdrawn. But having technology to assist in this.
While we've got this image of you frolicking in our minds, I observed today that your registration plate on your sports car
is called
Yippee.
Yippee or yuppie.
Yippee-ay-ay. But look, here's the thing. I could see this.
So
could you see this on the right, a child doing that?
Well,
you're a parent.
You know, in retrospect, you can see a lot.
True.
Right? But at least with the idea of foreseeability, quote unquote, with a shared visual space with different people, with different rich experiences, there's a lot more that you can predict or see as possible, not likely, not judging the likelihood.
As possible.
So you remember how I said eons ago about working with the city councils and looking at graffiti, and they would hire somebody who'd been a past graffiti artist, criminal.
But they do that.
Release the charges, so that they can have someone with that criminal mind, right?
Yeah.
To be able to give advice on where a graffiti artist might tackle part of the community, the concrete, the tunnel. So you need people with a mind like yours, a little nefarious thinking.
That's just not nefarious. No, it's just that I've got this acute sense of like safety.
What's possible?
Like OTT.
What's possible?
So beyond reason. So for me,
nefarious.
Nefarious. I know.
It's a good word.
It's almost defamatory, isn't it? The count's not nefarious. Come on. You know what nefarious means.
Let me give you another example.
Catastrophized. For me, some people might go, you're overreacting as if someone's going to jump on a carousel.
You would never overreact.
Look, okay, guys, I worked once with a council who was looking at making decisions about parking meters and the design of parking meters.
Right.
Do you know what I learned?
What?
This is why I did not think of this, but in the middle of the night or what happens on street corners is that guys whip it out and pee inside the old-fashioned coin parking meters.
She's always
But I would never think of doing that. So you need someone who is a partier to go, on Saturday night, this is what I do.
That's the thing. But I see those videos. You just have to watch the news, you know, those current affair type programs. You've got hooligans surfing on buses or cars.
designed boys for crime.
Will be boys, unfortunately, as that expression goes.
So any cavity is at risk.
Sarah had to. I thought this was going to be the cleanest season to date.
It never is.
And then Sarah has got to just take but it down to that me. Lowest it's, watermark.
It's what I learned in right, life. It's what I've learned in life, not what I would have predicted. I would never have predicted that, right?
But, you know, and it's funny getting back to the kids standing on carousels. I've seen footage of grown, so adults, clearly inebriated, like after Melbourne Cup, etc. They're planking on benches and bollards and they're falling off. So they're injuring them. Obviously, the next day they're going to find out. Yeah. I know alcohol's involved in that, but you're dealing with a young mind. Unfortunately, humans tend to do wacky,
right?
Loony, no pun intended, Looney Tunes things.
They solve problems that you didn't expect, but they also do wacky things that you might not expect, you know, on either extreme.
Correct. Right? This is the beauty of humans. We're all over the shop.
Complex mess.
I love it.
Have you guys ever, did you ever do...
We're a hazard salad.
A hazard salad. Did you ever do, did you ever go on the Twilight Zone
I love that
Tower
show.
Of Terror?
Oh, no.
I took my son. Oh, I know, right? It closed. It's no longer in Disneyland. They closed it like in 2017. So I took my son. He must have been about, I don't know, 6 years old or something, 6 or 7. We went on the Tower of Terror, and he fit the whatever the criteria is to walk through.
Yeah. La la la. Yes.
I didn't know. Whatever. I thought, yeah, cool. Twilight Zone. That's a cool movie. And it just looked like you sit in this very controlled row of, it wasn't a roller coaster ride. It was just a row of seats with a bar that comes down.
So he fit the height.
So I thought it was just being more visual of, like the haunted house isn't that bad. You just see some visual characters and a little ride. I thought, oh, that's cool. Oh. And we start going up and there is some visuals of Twilight Zone. And then we go up again. It lowers a little. I'm like, oh, that's cool. It's a little up and down. Then it suddenly jolts you right through the ceiling and in a moment, drop.
Wow.
All the way down. So his little bum, butt from my American friends, lifts up out of the seat and he's flying, right? Yeah. He's like, there's like this much space because he hasn't got the body weight.
Yeah.
And the bar is just across him. And his face, I've never seen it look so terrorized. Yeah. I was like, mom done? But, you know, then you whack down the bottom. Boom.
Oh, that would have hurt him.
He walks out. Of course, he goes, can we do it again?
That's the thing.
But I did not expect that, right?
Well, Alan and Sarah, you just reminded me, there was, I don't know if you remember the case, it went to trial involving the
cha-cha-cha
in Southport again.
You mentioned this one.
At a fate, and it involved a young girl who didn't satisfy, this is a classic human factors 101.
The height.
Didn't satisfy the height. However, she knew the attendant who was a friend with the
girls. Oh, I think I read about this.
Yeah, and she was thrown out and suffered horrific.
You mentioned this,
gross bodily harm injuries. So my point to this is, anyway, they found guilty, they'd gone to trial, but my point to this is, but the facts are obviously very different to this, but it's funny, we think of these things as just being good times, fun times, but behind the facade of the fiberglass,
it's mobile. It's big
high
plant.
Risk mobile. It's a
fixed plant with moving parts and humans. Yeah,
that's it. And you know, so whether it's the humble merry-go-round or a massive ride like the Twilight, big things.
Yeah, or human behavior. Like there was the case a few years ago in the Gold Coast where an 8-year-old girl, suffered horrific injuries to her genitals while going down water slides.
Oh,
and I think, now don't quote me, I believe it was alleged that there were like razor blades put in the creases. And I don't know. Did you guys ever pull up that case?
I've heard stories.
Whether they were mythology or true, I don't know.
There's about a dozen news reports of this.
So that's interesting.
Have to dig up the case.
And getting back to that reasonably foreseeable, now you might, worst case scenario, think, what if some freak did that, some evil human did that, right? But that's squarely in the reasonably sort of not foreseeable. But I'm really stuck on this case you've discussed today, Alan. I'm really conflicted about the issue of reasonable foreseeability and a 12-year-old kid standing or not standing on a carousel, and I just am quite confused about the case.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. But there'll be no judgment because the prosecutors withdrew the charge.
Yeah, yeah.
And the defence may not have made submissions. So there may, in fact, be no written document.
Because these are interesting learning, because I know it's piqued your interest, and I guess
I want to see this. I'd like to read this and see if it was really compelling. If I would pick it apart differently versus what they've done from a design perspective. I
mean, important learnings, even the dream world. It's embedded in certainly in good OHS schools. It's embedded.
Does that mean yours, Trej? Now, we've done a plug for each other. We need to plug Trej now.
The Australian Catholic University is a great OHS school.
And
Trej is doing an amazing job at this.
Sensational.
Very animated lecture.
There are some good videos from certain key people as well.
And, people pine over the fact that Sarah has declined.
Some of the professors are amazing.
Extraordinary.
But people still say, Trej, you're all good, you're all that, Pete, you're all great, you're fine, but where's Sarah Bear?
Sarah Bear says, where's Sarah Bear?
More of Sarah. Sarah. So I'm going to organise a petition for students listening.
Yeah.
That we want Sarah back live and direct.
And a guest speaking event from Alan. Why don't we do Work Live event? Let's do a workshop.
Let's do a plug for You'll See Me at QUT.
Let's just do a plug for
Nick.
Go for it.
Nectarios Karanikas. Yes. I do some guest lecturing with Nectarios.
Wonderful scholar.
Yes.
Leads a very tight
Associate
ship at QUT.
Professor Nectarios Karanikas.
You don't want to mess about with him.
No, that's it. If not, you're going to see Alan.
And I've worked with Dr. Elise Crawford.
Oh, the wonderful Dr. Right. Elise Crawford.
Robin Bridges Limerick. Yes.
Aldo. I'm doing a supervision with him.
Is this Anita Hamilton? There was some talk about him retiring.
You'll have to ask Aldo direct. You'll have to ask him about
I'm affiliated with five universities, so I could plug any of five and
absolutely
be okay.
Kirsten, let's not forget you, Q, the wonderful work.
And that's the pathway that I met you. So thank you, Dr. Kirsten Wayne. Associate Professor Kirsten Wayne.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff going on across the universities. And Robin, of course,
Robin Burgess-Limerick.
We can't have an episode without mentioning
Robin. Good old Robin.
The inventor of the vibrating app.
Yes.
Well, the app itself the app itself doesn't vibrate. If you're thinking you're getting
a
free vibration. It measures vibration.
It measures vibration.
It vibrates while you sit on it.
No, it doesn't vibrate.
No cavity
before we end this. The app itself does not vibrate, right? Get this right.
No.
It's measuring vibration like through your seat in a cab or something.
Look,
gosh. What do you think we're selling? We're going to be very careful here.
We'll end with one more shout out right across the pond. I'm working with the wonderful Dr. Chris Peace. What a wonderful name.
Tell me about Chris Peace.
Now, Dr. Chris Peace is my counterpart at the Canterbury Uni, but he was also the expert in the White Island. Disaster, yes.
New Zealand.
So we're working on a chapter like overview of WHS legislation.
Cool.
So some wonderful family in the OHS and good work design space.
Excellent.
And it's beautiful and it's great. And we're always welcome the ideas and suggestions they have. And let's keep the party going.
And also let me, I can answer your question now.
What's that?
The case late last year, the Australian Defence Department was charged because two soldiers were attacked by a crocodile in Townsville. Now, for our foreign listeners, in the northern half of Australia, there's a lot of crocodiles and you can't go swimming in the water. If you do go swimming in the water, you might be attacked by a crocodile, and they're predators and they eat humans.
There's signs everywhere.
So there are signs everywhere, and they're there for a reason. Anyway, these two soldiers who should have known better jumped out of their Zodiac boat and went for a swim. Now, it's very hot in Townsville, so they obviously wanted to cool off.
But sometimes the water's hotter. It's not that much cooler there anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, they were immediately attacked. No sooner had they got in the water than they were attacked.
Yikes.
Luckily, the first soldier was taken underwater because that's how crocodiles work.
Mm.
They drag you under the water. And luckily, the second soldier attacked the crocodile.
Mm.
It was only 2.5 meters long and managed to free the first soldier. They managed to scramble back into their Zodiac and get away. So it was a good story in that regard.
Like, seriously, your adrenaline.
Let's talk about 10 feet, mate.
Yeah.
two and a half meters.
Yeah, 2.5 meters is like about 8-9 feet.
Yeah, that's big. That's what I mean. You're saying it's only, but holy, yeah. Holy.
Well, you said
but,
only. I said the Americans are going, holy, that's the big alligator.
Holy, holy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So it's like that's a big fella. Yeah, but they do get very big.
They can get bigger it's than that. But that's
much bigger.
See, I just think I would just. It's nuts. I would freeze. They would have an easy meal because I would just go, and I'd die from shock of the before the death roll even happened.
See, this is, look. We talked about this in the previous season. Unless
adrenaline
seasons,
comes and in and you punch it in the nose.
Yeah, look, the Department of Defence was charged in August last year.
That's right.
So it might still be a little bit early, but we're probably getting to about the point in time when that one will go.
No, let's see.
If for those who are interested in that case, there has been progression. So it's moved to the next round. So I think dates have been set. I think so. Right. This case is progressing.
Is the Australian Defence Force contesting?
I believe so. Let's check it. We've got live there the current crocodile case. So unlike the other cases we've talked about where matters are discontinued or they've been withdrawn, no, this one is progressing. Now, I don't know about a trial date.
So it's going to be.
But I do know it's moving along. It was in the paper last week.
It'd be interesting to see what the defence is. You couldn't say that crocodiles are unforeseeable. You know, it's well known that crocodiles are a hazard.
Well, yeah, crocodile-infested border.
2023.
No, the news is...
But the WHS...
Here we go. Let me read this out. Defence Department to go to trial over crocodile attack on soldiers. That was 1 week ago reported in the Brisbane Times.
My guess, and it's only a guess, they're going to argue that the soldiers were instructed not to enter the water. And the soldiers disobeyed their instructions.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to court. And one of the reasons is they're trying to work out now the story's coming back to me, they're trying to work out where the best court, where the best venue should be in terms of logistics, etc. And one of the court that was suggested was too close to a crocodile farm, and it was deemed not to be, whether it was
appropriate.
So they are looking for a venue. So this matter is progressing.
Why not just in Townsville?
So some applications have been made, and it appears that they're just trying to look at suitability of the venue, and there might also be practical things given the size of the trial, how many witnesses,
where
people are coming from. So anyway, suffice to say, this is quite a fascinating case.
Watch this space.
Yeah, and it feeds into how we look at work completely in a deconstructivist manner. We look at work being...
From anywhere,
anytime. It's pervasive. We look at the philosophy and the psychology as well as the sociology of work. And
you have to anticipate that workers will do the wrong thing.
You've just got to anticipate that, you know, they will not behave like automatons, like robots. We're not AI yet.
And learn from when they solve problems that you didn't expect also. Goes both ways. Well, I'm the advocate on that.
Be nice. People could learn and improve. But unfortunately, we're a bit too cynical and jaded, aren't we, Alan?
I'll be your happy, lucky charm today.
You be the glass half full. Like glasses just about empty because people appear not to learn, Sarah.
Oh, shame.
And that's a shame. All right.
Let's wrap
it. Thank you. Wrap it. That's all, folks.
We hope you enjoyed that episode of Why Work. You've been listening to Trage, Sarah and Alan. And if you'd like to know more about some of the things we've talked about today, please subscribe and we'd be more than happy to provide you with information, names of cases and other things that may interest you. Please be aware that none of the matters we've talked about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. See you next time.
This is a track about the unanswered questions, a tale of life's trials and tribulations. I work towards better days, better pays, steering clear the trap of old ways. With a clear head, navigate life like a maze, dedicated to hip-hop.